I'm going to open up a little bit differently today. I'm going to open with a joke, something someone shared with me many years ago. Also, as can be the case for some jokes, I've heard different places attached to this, including Minnesota, the New England states, and Alaska. I'll default to the version that uses our state. The gist of this joke is to compare how tough we are in Alaska when it comes to the cold with folks from other places, and it makes use of temperatures to make that point. Perhaps you've heard this, but maybe not. At 65 degrees, people in Arizona turn on the heat. People in Alaska plant gardens. At 60 degrees, Californians begin to shiver. People in Alaska still sunbathe. At 50, foreign cars won't start. People in Alaska drive with the windows down. At 40 degrees, people from the Gulf Coast states put on coats, long underwear, gloves, and wool hats. Alaskans throw on a flannel shirt. At 35, New York landlords turn up the heat. People in Alaska have one last cookout. At 20 degrees, folks in Florida begin to die of exposure. People in Alaska finally close their windows. When the thermometer hits zero, Californians begin to flee their state for Mexico. People in Alaska get out their winter coats. At 10 below, Hollywood disintegrates. The Girl Scouts in Alaska are selling cookies door to door. At 20 below, Washington, D.C. runs out of hot air. In Alaska, recess has finally moved indoors. At 30 below, Santa abandons the North Pole. Alaskans get cranky because snow machines are harder to start. At 40 below, all atomic motion stops. Alaskans are heard to say to visitors, "Cold enough for ya?" At 50 below, hell freezes over. In Alaska, schools open 2 hours late. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. That joke still makes me chuckle and, to my way of thinking, has a really nice blend of exaggeration seeded with just enough truth to be something that folks in Alaska can laugh at and appreciate. I would hope the tie to this week's episode will soon become pretty obvious. In recent days, we're trending in the direction of Hollywood disintegrating, though we haven't quite reached bringing the kids in for recess yet. Teachers who might be listening, it's okay to breathe a sigh of relief. The fact is, it actually feels like winter and shows no signs at all of abating anytime soon. It reminds me of January 2012 when we had a whole month of zero and less, as well as clear sunny skies. Frankly, it makes me happy to see and feel, and I'm sure I'm not alone. That said, it's also hovering around in temperatures that can very quickly become dangerous for those who aren't prepared. Now, I'm no Perry or Shackleton. I have no abiding desire to reach either the North or South Pole. I do, however, have things I like to do outdoors in the winter. A lot of us do. But let's make sure that when we get out and do those things, we do so safely. Even for those who don't think of themselves as outdoor sports, you need to consider being prepared for the cold. Life doesn't stop just because it's colder. There is still a lot of travel that happens, from simple trips to the store to more intensive travel. Because everything is frozen, village-to-village travel becomes more commonplace, often in the form of snow-go travel, but also by airplane. People travel for sports, both the kids who compete and families that go to watch them compete. Sometimes these trips are simple day trips, but they can involve overnighting somewhere else. Once in a while, those overnighters involve camping, even in colder temperatures. So, whether you travel by car, around town, by plane, or by snow machine, there are very good reasons to give thought to proper preparation while you travel, even if you're not really planning on being out there doing anything. First, let's identify what the biggest issues are, the biggest dangers. Probably the two most common things to deal with are hypothermia and frostbite. Hypothermia is the medical emergency that occurs when the body's temperature, its core temperature, is below 98.6 degrees. Once it starts to drop, it can quickly drop to levels that inhibit proper body function and ultimately lead to death. The very best thing you can do with hypothermia is to prevent it from ever starting. Stay busy and moving and stay hydrated. Do whatever you can to always stay dry. Wearing the right types of clothing and layering properly can go a long way towards doing that. Whereas hypothermia is an internal issue, frostbite is an exterior issue. Frostbite is the freezing of body tissue. It's caused by sub-freezing temperatures in combination with reduced circulation to the extremities. In fact, frostbite most often affects the extremities, such as the hands and face, the parts we are most likely to leave exposed. It does well to keep in mind that frostbite can happen very, very quickly, a matter of seconds if the skin is exposed and the temperature is cold enough. Keep yourself covered at all times and avoid contact with surfaces that would promote frostbite. Some of the stuff I've talked about over the years on past episodes, sometimes whole episodes, were related to winter recreation to include various types of hunting, winter travel, historical topics, safety, survival-related themes, and winter camping. In fact, I have an episode started about how to properly outfit a sleeping bag for winter camping, and probably I'll finish that and share it at some point in the future. So I guess what I'm saying is, if there's a bit of repetition, I'm okay with that. I'd like to believe people are still getting outside to enjoy those stunningly beautiful days that we've been having and will continue to have. But I also want to believe that they're doing it safely. I say that because I've already heard or read about a handful of stories about people who weren't quite prepared. Well, those are the ones that get reported, aren't they? Here recently, there was a KDLG story about three fellows from Leavelock who spent some unexpected time outdoors overnight. Nowhere in the story did I see any mention of rock-solid emergency cold-weather gear. Perhaps they did have some. I do know that two of the fellows left the one guy with a bottle of vodka when they decided to press on without him. Strangely, I've never seen a bottle of vodka listed as a survival item on any of the many lists I've ever seen. All joking aside, alcohol can only make a cold-weather situation worse, as it dilates the blood vessels and lowers core body temperature. So, no alcohol. Check. What else is there? Well, I'd say it comes down to this, to a small handful of things. Generate body heat, retain body heat, stay hydrated, stay dry, and have good quality emergency gear on hand with which you are proficient. By generating body heat, I'm talking primarily about two things, movement and eating. Eating boosts your metabolism. It keeps your body working in the cold. It's not unlike throwing an occasional log on the fire. I like to have small things to eat on the go, like crackers and various sorts of chips, jerky, salami, cheeses, nuts, and candy bars. Movement is good, but it's important to remember to pace yourself so you can keep a handle on that other one, staying dry. Staying dry when it's cold has definitely come up on here before and probably will again. It all comes down to wearing proper clothing and doing so in layers. Proper, of course, meaning synthetics or wool, never, ever cotton, ever. I shared on an episode that my idea of layering is a base layer on the skin, an outer, weather-resistant layer, and however many warming layers are needed between those two. It's particularly effective when you can adjust your layers to your activity level, such as layers that add or remove easily. Perhaps more important in this case, the really cold weather stuff, is having your head, hands, and feet properly covered. It makes me cringe when I see students headed to athletic events wearing tennis shoes. That's all well and good as long as there are no issues en route. Be sure to have gloves, boots, and head coverings that are more than ample for the current weather. And as mentioned before, stay hydrated. Your body needs water to function properly and maintain circulation to your extremities. Dehydration, as previously stated, can lead to hypothermia and frostbite. The last thing I mentioned is stuff for a survival situation, such as what happened with those three fellows from Leavelock. At a minimum, I'd want several ways to start a fire, some sort of fire starter, a way to cut wood, a way to make potable water, and some type of shelter. The shelter could be something simple like a length of paracord to make a basic lean-to keep the wind off you, and a Mylar sleeping bag to retain body heat. Extra meds, a way to signal help, extra food, a simple first aid kit, and a book to read would also be a part of my kit. You can actually pack all you would need into something as small as a Nalgene-type water bottle, if you know what you need. I'm not trying to scare anyone indoors with this. Actually, quite the opposite. Winter has so many outdoor blessings for those of us in Alaska. We just need to not be stupid while we're out there, because there is often very, very little margin for error. I have done a fair amount of hunting, trapping, fishing, and camping in the winter in Alaska. A lot of it happened when I was quite a bit younger. You know, a lot more foolish, but totally invincible. Some of it has been of a more recent vintage. I have two similar photos that were taken close to 20 years apart. In the first, I am posing with a large cow caribou, the sky a beautiful blue and snow on the ground. I'm smiling like it's Christmas. I actually shot 4 caribou that day, neatly ending my limit of 5 for the year. It was 20 below that day, with stout winds, easily the coldest day I've ever hunted. I felt like $1 million, and the world was my oyster. In the other photo, from 4 years ago, it's an overcast day, the sky an ominous color, and for good reason. A storm was bearing down on me and my hunting partner. I am posing with a large cow caribou. I'm smiling like it's Christmas. The temperature was a few degrees below zero, with stout winds. I felt like $1 million, and the world was my oyster. Neither of those days would have happened if I'd let the cold keep me inside. Those 2 days are cherished hunting memories of days when things went right. It may be cold outside right now, but I know this and I know it well. There are hunting seasons open. For you, maybe it's something else. Caribou season, for one, is open. Christmas is over, but, well, I feel like smiling. It's time to get out there and pluck another pearl. I encourage you, do get outside. Enjoy this winter while it's here. Be safe while you're out there. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake, provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.